believe you ought to preach every time you get an opportunity. And sometimes when you don't get an opportunity, go ahead and preach anyway. I've been known to do that. Well, I've got two messages. Which one do you want first? Amen. Have your Bibles this morning. Turn with us for a little while. We'll be as brief as the Holy Spirit will let us be. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Enjoyed the singing. Very good. You young folks do good picking. Just about have a fellow grinning a little bit. Amen. I ask that you pray for us this coming week or this month. Mostly, I have two surgeries that is coming up, and I ask that you remember us in prayer. God's will be done in them. They're day surgeries, and so that won't be too awful bad. Maybe that's what they say anyway. But do remember us in prayer and pray that the Lord would help us. And His will be done in it. This is made for a short man, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I figured. In the passage of Scripture here is very familiar that I'm going to read, and I'm not going to go through all of it or read all of it because I want to use one verse out of this for just a little while. But here we find that he is preaching or teaching to Corinth, to the church of Corinth, because on his second missionary journey, he founded this church, and this church had got out of whack, is what I call it. They wasn't doing what they were supposed to been doing. There was a division among them, and they were trying to go more lean so to wisdom, man's wisdom. And they was trying to separate man's wisdom with God's wisdom, with the Word of God. And Paul was having a trouble, having time with them in the passage of Scripture. And he gives this unto the brethren. Every time that you read this and you find it that he mentions the brethren, he's mentioned those that are saved by the grace of God. He's mentioning the church, dealing with them. And in doing so, I find that from verses number 1 through verses, or chapter number 1 and verses chapter number 15, 14 times he calls them brethren because he wants to get their attention. And then when he comes down through here in the passage of Scripture and he gets over in the latter part of this, then he tells them here in the latter part in verses number 51, behold, I like that word because he's want to get them to look at something or another that will bless them or help them along the way. And he deals with it for a little bit down through the passage of Scripture. He said, I show you a great mystery. I like mysteries. I don't know about you, but I like to read about mysteries in the Word of God, things that are fixing to take place. One day after a while for each and every one of us that are saved by the grace of God. So then he comes on here in the 15th chapter and he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed. Father, it's again that I bow before you. I'm thankful for your word. I ask you to help us this morning. God, you know the need of each and every heart that is in here. I pray, Father, that you meet that need according to your will. And, Father, I pray if there's one that is lost without you, Father, would you deal with their heart? Help them to see a need for a Savior before it's too late. Father, if there's one here out of the will of you, Father, deal with them. Draw them to an altar of repentance. I'll thank you and I'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, I humbly pray, amen and amen. In this chapter, you'll find that Paul also is speaking about the resurrection of Christ and the importance of it. If Christ be not risen, our preaching would be in vain. Everything that we do as far as the worship here this morning would be in vain. But thank God he did raise from the grave on the third and appointed morning. So that's what he was dealing with. And he deals with the victory shout that is taking place. Look at these verses. I'll go through them just a little bit, and I want to use one verse of it. Notice what he's saying here. In verses number 51 through verses number 52, it tells about the great transformation, that there's going to be a change one day after a while. This old mortal is going to have to put on immortality. Going to be changed in a different and a twinkling of an eye. I thank God that that's going to happen. And then verses number 53 through 54, he gives the victory shout. Boy, I like that. He victory shout over death. He said, death swallowed up in victory. The victory came when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, walked down the halls of paradise, and had the keys of death, hell, and the grave strapped on his girdle. That's when the victory come forth, when he rose from the grave. And then it goes on in verses number 55 up through verses number 57, and he gives the victory shout. And I like the way that he does that. Look what he said here. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But look at verses 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, look what all that the Lord is going to do for you. All this is to yet come to pass. I'm not dead yet. Christ has not come yet. I've not got to heaven yet, but one day I'm going. And we that are saved by the grace of God, when the trumpet sounds and the voice sounds out, we're going to leave this place, my friend, and we're going to go to be with the Lord forever in the air. Yes. Amen, preacher. Don't get quiet on me. I ain't used to that. Amen. And I noticed something. Now I want to deal. Then he deals with something else that's just a little more restricted. I've not talked about very much. Look at the next verse. And I want to use it just for a little while. He said, therefore. Boy, I like that word when he says therefore. And what it means is for this reason. This reason, what was the reason? All of this that he has already given us about the resurrection, or about the coming of the Lord, about the time that we're going to leave here, about all of that. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye therefore steadfast. He said, I want you to be steadfast. I want you to be what you are to be for the Lord. I want you to be where you ought to be. Be what you are, my friend. A possum is a possum and a pig is a pig. But a Christian ought to be a Christian, amen. Ought to be a Christian, ought to live right. That simply means, my friend, and therefore that word means that for this reason you do these things that are supposed to do. Steadfast means to me, and this is necessary. If you're not steadfast in the things of God, the world will look upon you. A lost person will look at you. They'll say, well, they're not steadfast in nothing. They're not faithful to the house of God. They're not faithful to the preaching of the Word. They're not faithful to reading the Word. They're not faithful to witnessing unto folks. My friend, then that person may die and go to hell because we're not steadfast in the work of the Lord. Amen. I believe you ought to be steadfast in Him. I believe you ought to be what you are. If you're a preacher, be a preacher. Preach the Word of God. Preach the Gospel. Be in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove with all. Do it all. Don't let none of it down. Be steadfast in what you're doing. Look what a price it cost for your salvation and my salvation that a Savior would go and hang and die on a tree for my sins and your sins, my friend. But thank God He rose again on the third and appointed morning. We have victory in the Lord, and we can have that victory if we just lean on Him, my friend. So He tells us here that steadfast means that you need to be steadfast. You need to be firmly fixed. That's what it means. Firmly fixed. Be fixed. Do what the Lord would have you to do. Be what He wants you to be. My friend, old Paul preached. He practiced what he preached. He didn't just dilly-dally around about it. He lived it. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses number 7, he said, there, I said, I've fought a good fight. Listen, I can tell you, I've fought a fight. I don't know how good it's been these 43 years to preach, but my friend, it's been a fight. It's a battle. You say, preacher, what are you saying? We're in a battle. We're in a warfare. Every one of us that is saved, we warfare with the devil. The Bible says the prince and the powers of the air. We've got things that we have to do to keep our own self straight with the Lord, my friend, that we might live a life that someone else would come to Jesus. Yes, want them to come to Him. But he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Listen, my friend, he kept it all. Paul was one. He wanted to hang in there for the Lord. Are you in trouble? Are you having trouble keeping the faith? Are you having trouble being steadfast in the Lord? If you are, my friend, I know how you can heal that, how you can take care of it. Being steadfast on Sunday morning, Sunday school time, being there. I mean, being fixed there. I want to be a fixture in the house of God when the bell rings. I want to be sitting there. I want to be somewhere. Why, preacher? Because He's done so much for me. He's blessed me more, my friend. Over the years, I'll never be able to pay Him for what He's done for this old boy over the years, especially the last couple of years. God's been good to me. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I want to be steadfast in His work until He calls me home. Why, preacher? I want something to cast at His feet when I come before Him. Praise God. One day after a while. So then he told him, he said, I've fought a good fight. Paul tells us then what he's saying. He said, I've had no trouble serving the Lord. Well, praise God. I've had no trouble at all serving God. Why, preacher? Because He's always there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. So I have no trouble with that. Because when trouble comes, I know where to run to. Why, preacher, how do you know? I've got a refuge. I've got a place I can go. I've got a stronghold somewhere. Have you got one? I've got a high tower that I can run to. Well, you say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, my friend, it's no problem serving God when you get right with the Lord. If you're right with the Lord, you get your heart right with Him. And you realize what He's done for you, and where He brought you from, and where He's taking you to. Thank God it'll change your mind, and you'll serve the Lord then. It's no struggle then. It's no struggle then for that. Steadfastness is necessary for the victory. You don't know why that you haven't received the victory that you ought to have received. You say, what are you talking about? When's the last time a prayer was answered for you? Ask your own self that. That's victory when you get a prayer answered. That comes from the Lord when it happens that way. You want to know why you hadn't got one answered lately? Maybe you've not been steadfast in the work of God. Maybe you've let Him down somewhere along the way. Maybe there's something between you and Him, my friend, that's broken the line to where that you can't get a prayer through. Oh, there's nothing no sadder than a child of God that's been saved by the grace of God, and that line be broken to where that they can't get a hold of God. Listen, I want to be able that when I come across someone and somebody asks me, a preacher, tell me how to get saved. I want to have something about me, some gumption, some far about me, to be able to say, I'll take the Word of God and show you and lead you to the Lord. Oh, you say, preacher, what are you saying? When's the last time that God answered one of your prayers? Oh, listen. You say, oh, but sometimes he's laid on it. Oh, yeah, he is. Sometimes he don't answer right when you ought to. I never will forget when my wife was passing away. She come to, she looked at me, she said, "Daddy, let me go." I said, "It ain't me. I can't do nothing. You have to ask the Lord that." Well, she said, "I never said nothing." She waited a few minutes and she said, "Why is he so slow?" Sometimes God answers. He answers in His time and in His way. And I'm thankful that He does do that, that He answers that way. She said, I told her, I said, "I'm not going to ask Him. You ask Him when you get there. I don't want to get in trouble with the Lord. I'm not going to ask Him that." But notice something else. When you get a little deeper in that, we find out when we get steadfast, then we can figure out that all we can have the victory over Satan and everything that he has to throw at us. Oh, what do they see in your life? Do they see that you're steadfast in the Lord? Do they see that you really, really mean what you say that you are? That you're really walking in the way that you should? And then not only that, but notice the next one that he says. He says, steadfast and unmovable. Unmovable. I'm dogmatic about some things. I'm old school about all things. I still believe that it's the Word of God that draws men to a altar of penance. Because the Bible says we're begotten by the Word and drawn by the power. When the Word of God was preached when I was 16 years old, sitting on the second, third bench, I believe it was, over on the left side of the church, old preacher preached the Word of God, and he told us that, hey, there's two places to go. You can go to heaven if you'll come to the Lord. But if you don't come to the Lord, then you're going to go to hell. So you don't hear much about that. No, very little about it. But listen, there's something that is necessary. I mean absolutely necessary. You must be born again. There is no water that'll save you. You can shake every hand of preachers across the country and you'll die and go to hell. You can join the church and die and go to hell. You can sing in the choir and die and go to hell. You can be a Sunday school teacher and die and go to hell. You can say you're called to preach and die and go to hell. Ye must be born again. Born again. Thank God when your name's written down, it's written down forever. I believe in eternal salvation. When He saved me, He put my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God. I believe He's got two books there. But they press it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the devil cannot get it out. Amen. May get old and may get cold, but still yet it'll be there. It'll be there, bless God. Let's thank God for it. We set forth the necessary. It must be it's necessary for us to be unmovable. Unmovable. Why? What on? On your convictions. On your convictions. Stand for the Word of God. If God said it, I believe it. From Genesis to Revelation. I may not understand it all. I don't know it all. But I believe it all. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Unmovable. That means to be incapable of being moved. Being fixed. Being stationary. There you are. Gonna be there. Gonna be at it. Paul talking about it. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 14, he dealt with it a little bit. He said, be no more children. I like that. Tossed to and fro and carried about with winds of doctrine. He said, don't let everything that goes and comes drag you away. Don't let it bring you away. I still believe in this blessed old King James Version. I don't go with none of the rest of it. It's junk. And if you've got one, you've got junk that you're toting around. And it doesn't have any power to it. You say, why not, preacher? It took too much of this good book here out of this and put it in another and say, we got a new version. We're doing a new thing. Listen, don't be moved by that. That's not right. That's trash right out of hell. I don't care to tell them about it either. Not one bit, my friend. So he told them here, I believe it if you go with the first one. if you're steadfast, you won't have to worry too much about the other two. But there we find out that he said unmovable. David declared in Psalms chapter number 16, verse number 8, he said, I shall not be moved. Thank God we need folks that won't be moved. I pastored and over the years, and I've seen them, and I know this brother has too. I've seen them as they come. Oh, we just love you to death. We're going to hang right in there with you. We're going to be there as long as you are. 2 months later, you couldn't find them if you had one of those finding things and run around them. You couldn't find them nowhere. Done, gone, left out. What happened, preacher? Because they was unmovable. They wanted to stay with their way instead of God's way. You got to go God's way, not man's way. God's way. God's way. Jesus Christ is he's the shepherd. This is the under-shepherd. He gets his orders from headquarters. Amen. That's where it comes from. Then they can't change. Don't change. Don't change what's going on in your church. Leave it alone. Let God do the blessing. He'll do what needs to be done. All that Paul went through in his life, he gave his testimony, I believe it was, over in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 24. He said, but none of these things moved me. We know what Paul went through. Everything that he went through, all of it. He was even cast out and left for dead. All these things. But he said, none of them moved him. He stayed straight with the Word and preached the Word of God to them. He gave them what they needed that they might know how to be saved. Paul gives warning in Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 23 as he deals with them there. He said, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't be moved away from this blessed book. Don't be moved away from it. It's necessary that you feed on it. You feed on it. That you learn it. Hide the Word. He said, help me to hide the Word in my heart that what I might not sin against God. He said, let me put that Word in here. Let me keep it in here. Let me bottle it up in here. That when temptation comes my way, then I can reach and get that. And I can use that. And it helps me to get over and get by. It will do you the same way if you'll let it be that way. You have difficulty from serving the Lord? Is it different for you? Is it rough on you to show up? Is it rough on you, my friend, to be unmovable? Is it hard for you to stand before friends that doesn't believe the way that you believe and tell them that, hey, that's not right? Is it hard? I've seen folks today that are we call them wishy-washy. I don't know whether that's a word or not. If it ain't, they need to write it down. They're whatever crowd they're with, that's what they are. That has hurt the church more than anything that I know of. Is folks that act like they're fine when they go to the house of God, but then when they leave, they're different. I believe you ought to be the same. Unmovable. Be the same. Be the same. Be what the Lord would want you to be in your life. Be for Him. Work for Him. It's necessary that you do. A lot of folks have trouble with that. Not only that, but look at the last one. He said abounding. Abounding in the Word. That means plentiful or overflowing. Plentiful. Overflowing. Are you abounding in the Lord? Are you abounding in the work of God? That means to do more. Do more. Do more. Be more active in it. Be more active in it. Why, preacher? Galatians chapter 6, verses number 9. He come along and he said, let us not be weary in well-doing. He said, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What are you saying, preacher? That means that faint not. That means that we don't lose course. We don't lose course. That we stay straight. Right on down the line. A person that stays straight like that with the Lord, you're not going to be popular. I can tell you that. You're not going to be popular. Folks ain't going to like you. Some folks don't like me. Matter of fact, some hate me. But you know, I just leave that up to the Lord. That's not my problem. That's their problem. That's their problem. Some don't like the way I preach. They say I'm too plain. Well, I'm not that plain anymore. I've got older. I guess I was a little rough around the edges when I was younger. But still yet, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Paul said, always abounding. Always abounding. I like that. That means just keep going. Are you growing in the Lord? You can ask your own self that question. Are you growing? Have you led anybody to the Lord lately? You know, there's a lot of folks that call themselves Christians, I dare say, is able to lead anyone to the Lord. To lead anyone to the Lord. There where I do dialysis, I've seen two get right with the Lord in the past. Well, it's not even been a year since I've been at this one. At the other dialysis where I was at, I seen five saved that come in there. That come in there. I kept wondering, I told a lady there, one of them, I said, I don't understand why the Lord has sent me in here. I don't see I don't understand it, but I said, I don't question Him why that I have, my health has went down so, and why that I'm in this place here. And this young lady was lost, and she really struck a chord in my life. She looked at me and she said, because the Lord knows we needed you. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. Coming from a lost person. She's still lost. I pray for her every day. God will save her. She has a family. And she needs the Lord. She needs the Lord. But that's the thing of it. Whatever you're in, God puts you there. That's your place. He's got a reason for it. You can grow. You can abound. You can go forward. Use every opportunity that you get to witness. I know. How many in here knows a lost person? Let's see your hand. Knows a lost person. Just knows one. Now, every hand in here. Don't fail to witness to them. Don't just be their friend. Don't just be their buddy. Hell is real.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is soon coming.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to be left behind and we're going to go out of here. And my friend, that's it for them. That's it for them. There's not another chance for them. Not another one. Not another one. Let me finish up. Let's see what we can come up with here. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, he speaks to the saved there and he calls them brethren. He said, as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk to please God, so you would abound more and more. More and more. He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow spiritually. The best thing ever happened to a church is them to grow spiritually. Don't be ashamed to praise the Lord. Amen. Look what He's done for you. Look what He's done for you. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand and praise Him. Holler amen. Back your pastor. Let him know. You holler at him, back him like that, he might get plumb beside himself. You say, preacher, what are you saying? You need to grow spiritually. We feed on food to grow physically, which does very little. Which does very little. Because I've learned, I fed on little Debbie's and I ended up getting a shot every night. You feed on food, there's something takes place in your body. I know in the church where my son is pastor, I know of four people that has cancer, dealing with cancer. Never smoked in their life, never used tobacco. Three of them has lung cancer. Three of them. There's something in the body that it's going to have to go to the dust one day after a while. It's going to have to go back to the dust. But we need to abound while we're here. We need to do the labor of the Lord. Do that. It's that suggestion that there's a day of reckoning. That's what Paul is really getting to. That's what he deals with later on. But there's a day of reckoning. There's a day that we're going to give an account. The Bible says of every deed done in the body. Every deed. I don't dread death. I don't fear death. I dread the process of it. I look forward to meeting the Lord. But I don't look forward to the judgment. I don't look forward to that. You might say, well, preacher, you shouldn't be like that. You should be all right. No. No. I'm like you, this old Adam flesh. It sins every day. I don't care who you are. I had a fellow to tell me, he said, I got saved and I don't sin no more. I said, you just now sin because you lied. You either sin because you've done something wrong, or you sin because you didn't do what you should have done for the Lord that day. And I have to ask the Lord to forgive me where I fail Him and come short of His glory every day. And you will have to do the same thing. Why, preacher? Open Revelations, my very, very good passage of Scripture that I love. 22:12. I'd say you couldn't, don't know, and of you know what it is. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. My reward is with me. I like that. To give every man according to his work shall be. Christ is coming. And the question is, how will you meet Him? If He come before we got out of here, we'll say the next second or 5 seconds or something, how would you meet Him? How would it be with your soul? You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know, I'm not asking you that. I know you're not going nowhere if you're not saved. So you're saved. How would you meet the Lord? How is it with you? Are you steadfast? Are you unmovable? Are you abounding in the work of God? Is there something left out? You see, we're going to give an account. This thing as being a child of God is a serious thing. What we forget, we've been bought with a price, which was the greatest price that was ever paid for a slave. I was enslaved to Satan, and the master paid the price. He paid the price. I owed a debt that I couldn't pay, and He paid a debt that He didn't owe for mine and your soul. Mine and your soul.
He's coming again. How's it going to be? How's it going to be? All this appeal is based on brotherly love. Paul loved them so much, he wanted to see them straighten their life out. He cared so much for them. He established that church. He wanted to see it grow. He wanted to see it back where it was. Every one of us should give close attention to that last verse. It'll help us. It'll help us to grow in the Lord. I appreciate the opportunity to come and be with you. You want your lost loved one saved?
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to be steadfast in the Lord. You have to be steadfast in serving God. I'm finished, preacher. Come on. Do pray for us. We need your prayers this week. Surgery the 4th and then again on the 20th. So do remember us in prayer and pray that I'll get a kidney. I want to go back to pastoring so bad that it hurts. It hurts.
I've done it so long. And then this comes upon you, and you can't fulfill the duties that need to be fulfilled. And I'm glad that I had enough sense to understand it and realize it and step down. But boy, I miss it. I miss it. I told Jamie, my son, I said, if I ever get a kidney, I'm going to rob every good person he's got out of his church. I'm going to leave him with sheep and wolves' clothes.